I was like, this is not how I wanted to start my new life. This isn't how I wanted to get out of the Navy. This isn't how I wanted to start a nursing program. So like, thank God for the FIRE movement, because I had gotten into real estate. I had paid off all my debt, you know, preparing for this transition. So I had saved maybe about 15,000. And I was just like, I'm out, I'm leaving. You know, as soon as I get out of this organization, I'm leaving the country.
You're listening to Nurses on Fire, the podcast for nurses by nurses aspiring to financial independence. I'm your host, Nasima McElroy of Financially Intentional. Let's spark some flames, y'all. Have you started on your journey towards financial independence or want to do better with your money and don't know where to start? Well, this training is for you. I encourage you to head over to financiallyintentional.com/live to sign up for our next free masterclass, where I'll teach you the techniques I've used and taught my clients to master money and build wealth. During this free training, you'll learn the most powerful weapon you have at your disposal to launch into financial freedom, the budgeting method that will free up thousands of dollars a month to achieve your financial goals, the common mistakes to avoid while paying off debt, and how to rapidly slay debt. You don't want to miss this. So head over to financiallyintentional.com/live or click the button in the show notes to register for our next free masterclass.
Hi, welcome to episode 47 of the Nurses on Fire podcast. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all of those who already left a review. Now I'm going to read one of those reviews. I love this show. Nasima is a fabulous guide on all things financial freedom. Highly recommend this show.
Thank you, Lilo with six nines, for that sparkling review. Thank you all again so much for tuning in. And if this is your first time listening, welcome and cheers to igniting your fire. I'd be eternally grateful if you took a moment to subscribe, leave a review, and share with other nurses that you know could benefit. Make sure to head over to nursesonfirepodcast.com/win to find out how to be entered to win an Amazon gift card for leaving a review. We're also on YouTube, so make sure to head over to nursesonfirepodcast.com/YouTube and subscribe. I'm sending so much love to all the nurses entering nursing school or that have graduated and are looking for jobs during these interesting times. The way nursing school looks will most likely forever change, and it's going to be different than what you signed up for. So make sure to keep your head up and remember the most important thing is to get through school. We need you guys, future nurses. So for those who are entering the workforce, I know that ain't nobody really trying to hire right now, but keep on pushing. I too graduated into a rocky economy in 2009. Make sure you lean on old relationships, look for non-traditional roles, know that your first job might not look the way that you expected it, but it'll all work out. Sending tons of love and encouragement. So make sure you are taking the time to join communities with veteran nurses like the Nurses on Fire community, because you never know what opportunities may arise. In this episode, we are diving into the story of a military vet and future nurse midwife, Ashley Evans. Ashley served as a surface warfare officer in the U.S. Navy for 6 years. After separating in August 2019, her plans of attending Yale School of Nursing's Certified Nurse Midwife program abruptly changed. Out of the Navy and out of a job, Ashley used the unexpected gap year to travel throughout Africa and Europe, all thanks to the FIRE movement. Ashley will start Yale's Graduate Entry Pre-Specialty in Nursing program in fall 2020. Episode 47 of the Nurses on Fire podcast. This future nurse traveled solo to 14 countries. All right, Nurses on Fire, I have the honor of having Ashley Evans join us today. Hey, Ashley, how are you?
What's going on, Nasima? How are you? I'm excited to be here.
I am really happy to talk to you, even though these are some crazy times. And I know I've been like on an emotional roller coaster, and you know, I have a lot of stability in my life, but you know, with you going through a major transition, which we'll talk about in a little while, it has to be really trying. But before we get into what's going on with your current situation, I want you to share your story of just like your background and why nursing became important for you and what you saw yourself doing as a nurse or being as a nurse, because you're a future nurse. You will be a nurse very soon. So let's talk about what you've been doing professionally these last few years and what you want to be doing relatively soon.
Okay, so I'm going to try not to take it too far back, but my mom was a single parent nurse in the Navy. When I went to college on a ROTC scholarship. So basically, you know, and there is a nursing program for this as well, but the Navy will pay for you to go to college if you serve your time back. But I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be an OBGYN. So I didn't do the nurse corps scholarship. And I was a biomedical engineer for my undergrad. And then when I became a senior and it was time to service select or like choose my field, the way it works is you request what field you want to go into, and then they come back and tell you what field you're going to go into. So I requested to go, you know, to medical school because I wanted to be a doctor. And the Navy's like, no, you're going to drive ships. Yes, that's how that went down. So I was a surface worker officer. I drove ships for 6 years, and it was rough. It was not the field for me. But what ended up happening is I got mixed in with a doula here in Jacksonville, Florida, and she took me to my first home birth, and then I started researching midwifery school, and then I found Yale, and I remember calling her in July of 2017 and being like, hey, Yale has a nursing program for midwives, and I remember her looking at me and saying, you're going to be a midwife. Like, I can see it. I can feel it. You're going to be a midwife. And then I got the opportunity to visit the campus, and I met two other women of color, minorities, and they like let me tag along with them all day. And I just followed them like this little puppy dog. And I left that campus and I said, I'm going to be a nursing student at Yale. Like, I saw it, I felt it. And it was just, it fed this part of my soul that I hadn't felt since I had been in the Navy. And it was just fate. As soon as I left that campus in July of 2017, I was like, I'm going to be a student at the school one day. And then the opportunity came and I'm going to Yale.
So you got into Yale for the 2018 school year, correct?
For the 2019 school year.
For the 2019 school year, you got accepted into Yale. And what happened? Did you start right away?
I did not start right away. What happened? I still ask myself what happened. So in July of 2019, about 6 weeks before I was supposed to start school, the particular ship that I was on was like a brand new ship. I mean, like, I'm sailing it from Wisconsin through the Great Lakes to Florida because it had just been built in the shipyard in Wisconsin. So we come out of Wisconsin, we sail through the Great Lakes, we get to Montreal, Canada, and just this freak accident, this like super unfortunate series of events, we ended up hitting another ship. And my CO was fired. He was flown back to the States. Craziest event of my life. We flown back to the States and we get this new CO. And the CO is a captain, you know, he's the one in charge of the ship. It's July. My plan is, it's the end of June. My plan is on August 3rd, we have this huge ceremony for the Navy to commission this ship. And then I am like leaving that day. I was the commissioning coordinator. So it was kind of like my ceremony. I'm going to, you know, carry out this ceremony. It's going to be a huge day. And then I'm flying out to get ready to start school that day. That was a plan that I had come to agreement with the previous CEO. And this new CEO, and where he was coming from was like, you know, I'm just getting to the ship. You just got in an accident. I don't know, you know, I don't know anything, da, 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 da. But he was like, no, you're not going. No. And it's like 6 weeks before school starts. And the reason why it was terrifying was because the way the Navy works is you have to request to get out of the Navy a year in advance. So my request to get out was already approved. I was getting out of the Navy regardless. And my plan was to go to school. My income would come from the GI Bill. So, you know, my plan to live was going to be go to school, get GI money, you know, become a nurse. And now I'm getting out and that plan is gone. My income is gone. Like there was nothing, you know?
Wait, really? How? Like by you going to nursing school, you forfeited that, or how did that go away?
Okay. So it didn't go away. Like I still have my GI Bill, but you can't get that money if you're not going to school. Every time you get GI benefits, you know, you have to tell them like, I'm taking courses this semester. You have to give them proof that you are in school. So they don't just give you the money. You have to tell the VA, hey, I am attending this school for this semester. And then they'll give you the money monthly. You get a monthly stipend.
So he told you that you can't leave, but you had orders already that like it was already in the works for you to leave.
So this is a technicality called separation leave, right? So you cannot hold me past my separation date, but it's kind of like paid time off. You can tell me if I can take paid time off or not. Once I quit the job, you know, once my 2 weeks notice is over, I'm out. But until that point, he still controls like when I can actually leave. So my date of August 3rd, he didn't approve my separation date. He actually approved the date of August 16th, but school started August 19th. And I still needed to find a place to stay and buy books and, you know, get there. So he didn't say I couldn't go to Yale. He just said, you can't leave when you're planning to leave. And that kind of effectively.
Ooh, okay. So that left you in a very interesting position because all your plans, like not only did you get into like this tragic accident, but now your whole plans are flipped upside down. So at that point, what decision did you make?
So I remember like going back and forth because he did give me a date of August 16th when school started August 19th. And everybody was like, girl, you better get to Yale. Like you better make it happen. And I just coming from this experience of having, you know, of hitting a ship and then, you know, still having to push on and get the ship to Florida just to roll into the ceremony. I was like, this is not how I wanted to start my new life. This isn't how I wanted to get out of the Navy. This isn't how I wanted to start a nursing program. So like, thank God for the FIRE movement because I had gotten into real estate. I had paid off all my debt, you know, preparing for this transition. So I had saved maybe about 15, it was like 15,000. And I was just like, I'm out, I'm leaving. You know, as soon as I get out of this organization, I'm leaving the country. So my last day in the Navy was August 31st of 2019. And then I flew to Johannesburg was the first place I went to on September 11th. And then I just traveled to like six different places in Africa. And then I went to Europe for the reserves and I traveled like four or five places in Europe or something like that. Ended up being 12 countries. But I just traveled for 4 months.
Hold on, Ashley, 1 second. I just want to ask you before we get into this extraordinary journey that you went on, how common is it for ships to run into each other?
Not common at all. It was a freak accident. So I thank God I wasn't on the bridge. Like I wasn't the one driving that day, but I do remember extraordinary current. The current was fast to the point where you could see like the white caps, like when you go white water rafting, the pilots, we were in Canada, the pilots didn't speak English. So there was just a little bit of heightened anxiety. Yeah. I don't want to give like too many details because I know it's like sensitive to people who are in the Navy, but the tugs were what was holding us into place. And those tugs got away. And within 10 seconds of those tugs getting away, we were alongside of the ship that was parked next to us. We were leaving and there was a ship moored to the pier behind us. And within 10 seconds of those tugs getting away, we were alongside of a ship. It is not common. There's a sound that you play to let the ship know that you're about to run into something. And if there'll be times where you can still like hear it going off, you know, because it's just, it's the one sound that you never, never want to hear. Never want to hear. Yeah. It was intense. I'm not gonna lie. It was a very bizarre period in life, but you couldn't take the time to grieve and kind of fill it in because like you still had to get to Florida. You know what I mean? It was very much your CO was gone. Like you still had to pick up and move on and carry on because, you know, the Navy doesn't stop.
So the ship was okay. Like it was still drivable. I don't know how to say that, but it wasn't enough damage that it was like the ship had to be totally decommissioned. Like it was fine enough to keep on going.
Yes.
How about the other ship?
It was huge. So my ship is very, very small.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we didn't have damage to the point where there was like water intrusion. No one got hurt. So we got very, very lucky in that regard. The other ship had like this much paint, like a tiny amount of paint. You know, it was similar to like, I would say like a smart car hitting a like pickup truck, or honestly, maybe even an 18 wheeler.
Got you.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Okay. Well, I'm joking because I know everything was okay. Your ship was ultimately okay. It just caused a whole bunch of commotion and stir up in the administration of your ship because obviously it was an incident that wasn't supposed to happen, but it totally thwarted all of your plans. Like just that little incident, that freak incident thwarted your plans. And, you know, I'm always a believer in everything happens for a reason. It's kind of hard here, especially right now when these things are still affecting you right now. So you were supposed to start Yale Nursing School in the fall of 2019. That's the fall. Yes. Fall of 2019, but you had to postpone your admission, right? Or defer, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you decided to leave the Navy. No, like, forget it. Like I'm leaving. I'm not starting Yale. I'm going to defer a year. You know, I'm not staying here. I'm going to travel the world. So that's where we're at. So you went to how many different countries on $15,000?
Yeah, I was like, you know, those kids traveling on a prayer that like hold those signs. I was one of them. I was not like that. I, you know, went begging it in different countries because who does that? But I was balling on a budget. I was traveling on a budget. I think it was either 12 or 14. I think it was 14, to be honest.
Okay. So yeah. So you just decided to travel. Like, first of all, like, why did you decide like this is going to be your gap year? And why did you decide on all the places that you went?
I cannot tell you why I wanted to go to, I just wanted to go to Africa. And I know people get like kind of bristly about the word Africa's because they're like, it's not a country, it's a continent. But I didn't know anything about Africa at the time. The only place I had been was Morocco, which I did go back to, but I didn't want to go back to Morocco. Like, I just, there was something about Africa. I don't know where it came from. And it was like, that's where I needed to be. And I had wanted to travel solo while I was in the Navy. And I kind of had problems with like the security of different places. And, you know, we have like secret clearances and top secret clearances and stuff like that. So there's all kinds of hoops and paperwork you have to fill out. And I was having problems, you know, traveling alone when I was active duty. So there was just something about it that was like, Ashley, you have to go here alone. You have to do this by yourself. The plan was to go to Cape Town for my first like place, but there were riots in Johannesburg at the time. And Cape Town, there was this girl who had been, you know, very brutally murdered just a couple months before. And there were huge protests about this girl and femicide. And it just wasn't a place that I wanted to be by myself. So I went to Victoria Falls in Zambia, fell in love, had amazing time, just a beautiful time. Livingston in Zambia, Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. I did two nights on in a safari in Botswana. And then from Botswana, I went to Namibia and had the time of my life and just found pieces of myself that I didn't know existed and just found joy and grace and friendship and love and just had a blast. And then I caught a cold, so I went home for a couple weeks. Yeah, as soon as my mom heard like the slightest rattle in my throat, she was like, ooh, come home. It's time. You gotta come. It's time to come back. She's like very, she doesn't like me being far away. When it was time for me to go back, I flew into Spain, which is where I went to high school. So that was kind of like a home plate for a little bit. Flew into Spain, went to Morocco, and then Morocco to Italy, Italy to France, France to Amsterdam, and then I went home and I just got tired.
Wow.
And then I went back one more time to Italy, and then I went to Zanzibar and Kenya, and then I was done.
Wow. And this was from September 11th to when?
So Nasima and I met in March. This was like literally maybe a week and a half before. Yeah, maybe.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Wow. I guess I didn't realize all that stuff happened before.
You were seeing me like fresh out of coming through it.
Wow. Wow. So what is the, like coming from the military and just like, I'm assuming it's very strict and very regimented. Coming from that to just traveling the world alone, what was that like?
I've never thought of it like that. It was great, to be honest. There's so many kind of social norms that the military has, and just being able to break those social norms was, you know, amazing. You know what I mean? So I remember having this experience of one of the hoops that I had to jump through to travel was I had this boss and he was like, I don't think you should travel solo. I don't think you should go by yourself. And I went to Chobe. I went to a safari by myself and I'm like sitting in this tent at night and I can hear like the lions and the elephants like around me and just being by myself in like this national park and I can hear lions and all of these actual things that can kill me going around me, but I'm here on my own fruition and on my own autonomy and I'm here because I made this decision. And I had never felt so in control and in charge of my own autonomy. And I'm just like terrified and in love at the same time. Like, you know, I'm super scared, but just the fact that I'm scared of something that I did, like that makes no sense, but that's how I felt. Like I felt in charge. That's how I felt.
The feeling, the words that are coming up when you're describing those feelings to me sounds like, it just feels like liberation, maybe for the first time in your life. And that's just what it was coming up for me. But liberation is something that you had kind of started working towards because you said during this time when you were on your ship that you were working towards financial independence. You had discovered the FIRE movement. Tell me about that and what you had done to save all this money to go on this trip.
So FIRE, finances has always kind of been my kind of outlet, right? Because they're something that you can control. So I first started with real estate. I remember kind of looking at myself in the mirror. I think I was 24 at the time. I had been in the Navy for about a year. And I just remember being like, all right, Ashley, this will be the first and the last job that you work for money. The next time you work a job, it's going to be because you want to be there, not because you are paying someone back or because you need the money. Like, that's dead. And I met this stranger. I was stationed in Washington State at the time. He was a guest at my church. And I was like, hey, bro, are you a millionaire? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I'm trying to be a millionaire too. I'm trying to be a millionaire by 30. And he's like, bet. Bring all the money that you have, all of it, and meet me in Atlanta. And I'm 24 and dumb. And I'm like, okay. And I did that. I brought all of my money, which was $5,000. And I met this man that I met at my church one time. Basically, he told me to meet him at the courthouse steps. And he taught me how to buy a tax lien. And that was my first rental property. And that's how I became a landlord. And then, you know, life goes on. I bought my second house. I learned how to hire property managers. I did my first rehab. And basically, real estate was teaching me how to be my own boss and kind of learn how to run my own business. And it gave me that outlet from the Navy. I guess I'm a bit of a rebellious person because I've always needed something that I could call my own going through this organization. So became a landlord. I end up getting my two tenants. And then 2018 happens right before I'm about to apply to Yale. And that's when, you know, my life kind of takes me in this place where it's like, yo, you're getting out of the Navy in August of 2019. You're about to apply to Yale. You need to pay off your debt because you're leaving this organization. So I'm like, bet. It's August of 2018. I'm about $30,000 in debt. I have two houses that I have like no emergency fund for. I'm like, I need to pay all this stuff off. So I get a roommate, sell my car. I'm like bumming off of people's cars. And it took me about 6 months before I paid off all $30,000 in debt. And then while I was in Wisconsin getting the ship, that's how I saved the $15,000 because I had no debt. And that's when, you know, we hit a ship and everything kind of carried out from there.
I'm known as a debt slayer because of the $200,000 in student loans I slayed in 2.5 years. I hated those loans and dealing with the loan servicers. I was head down and focused and wanted to get rid of the debt as soon as possible. Knocking out these loans and seeing a zero loan balance was one of the most liberating feelings I have ever felt. But recently I learned that by not optimizing my student loan payoff strategy, I lost money. I'm talking about big money, y'all. I could have saved $80,000 if I had a customized student loan plan by the team at Student Loan Planner. Please don't make the same mistake as me. If you have student loan debt, especially in the six figures, head over to studentloanplanner.com/financiallyintentional to get your customized student loan plan today. Do you know how your retirement funds are invested? Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Chances are you're on the same boat as some of my coworkers. Some of them set up their retirement when they first got hired and never looked at it again. Some have let a computer select their investments and don't even know what they're invested in. Worst of all, some people have their retirement funds sitting in a savings account and they're not even invested in the market because they're afraid to lose money. That's hella scary, y'all. What's even scarier is that some of you listening don't even have a clue what I'm talking about. And guess what? This is super common. This has to change today. Let Bloom do the work for you. Head over to financiallyintentional.com/Bloom and get your free retirement account analysis. They'll check and see if your retirement account is optimized for you, and they'll let you know if you're paying too much in fees. That's Bloom with 3 O's. Bloom can also manage your retirement account on an ongoing basis so you can take the stress out of retirement planning. If you choose to work with Bloom, their fees are incredibly low, less than your Netflix subscription. You have enough to worry about. Let Bloom handle your retirement account. The hardest thing you'll have to do when it comes to your retirement is remember that Bloom is spelled with 3 O's. Head over to financiallyintentional.com/Bloom. Remember, spelled with 3 O's, and get your retirement account squared away today.
So you were kind of on your path to starting your path toward financial independence with your real estate. When did you like actually discover though that there were these people out there that were part of, you know, this FIRE movement?
November of 2016, I was, so the way a tax lien works is like you have this grace period before you get the property. And then once you get the property, it's yours. And I had to, you know, rehab it. And it, Paula Pant was not as big as she was now. She was still kind of talking about real estate. And I think she was on like house number 3 or 4, but she had just had Doug Nordman on her show. Doug Nordman's daughter was also in the Navy, and we were in power school together. We were stationed together. And when I started talking to his daughter, that's when I kind of discovered like this whole thing, like this is a thing, like fire, there are people in this and they do this thing. I think the next year after I had met Doug Nordman's daughter is when I went to my first Camp Fi, and they looked at my finances, they were a mess. And that's kind of when I, you know, realized that I could retire early and I could, you know, there were people who could help me through this. And that's when I became a part of the community, because it's a dope community and I meet dope people like you and I love it.
So I have mentioned Camp Fi before. I actually attended my first Camp Fi this January and it was a wonderful experience. I was actually a speaker there, so it was great. But the community, I mean, even though I was a speaker, it was just like speaking to like your classroom, like your class, like when you're in school. And it's not like I'm like above everybody else. It's like I'm a student just like everybody else. We're all learning and growing together. Everybody's in solidarity, working towards this one common goal, and everybody's genuinely there to help you. And you're alongside of pretty influential people in the personal finance space, people who have done some amazing things and have amazing platforms, but at the end of the day are just there to learn like you and share space and karaoke and drink and hang out and camp and do all these fun things just to get to know people on an individual level. And so if you're interested in personal finance and FIRE and you are a little bit intimidated by maybe, you know, reaching out to someone on different platforms or going to a big event like FinCon, which is really only if you have a platform, Camp Fi is definitely where it's at. You know what, for as influential as Camp Fi is in itself, it's pretty like low key and pretty like low tech. You'll find it and you'll say, is this really the thing that everybody's raving about? Yeah, that's it. That's it. So yes, I too went to camp, which I, you know, animately say Black people don't camp. And, you know, obviously me and Ashley are both Black women.
This is the camp you have to go to. This is the camp.
And it's still, yes, it is the camp that you have to go to. All right. So you've traveled the world. You've experienced the things. You're planning to start nursing school this fall 2020 at Yale. Big ups to you, Ashley, for not only getting into Yale, but being phenomenal enough to turn this tragedy into triumph and using it to paid off all this debt, saved all this money, and now you traveled the world. You found parts of yourself that you didn't even know existed. And, and now you're back in the States and you are prepping to go to Yale, which is not just going to Yale. It's like situating your life in Connecticut. It's buying a house. It's getting a job. It's all of the things. And like you said, we met in March and, you know, super excited. You're super excited. I'm super excited for you. I'm like following along this journey. And then lo and behold, 2 weeks later.
COVID night.
No, COVID had already hit.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't have done it, to be honest.
Exactly. So COVID had already hit. We were already scheduled to go to this conference in Cincinnati,
which was amazing. It was a really good conference.
Yes, it was an amazing conference. So, and it was the first week of March. I traveled from Oakland to Cincinnati to attend this conference. Ashley traveled to attend this conference. It was an amazing conference. By the time we got back home, though, S got real.
Yeah, it did.
And that's when, like, the next week or so, people started announcing shelters in place. You know, things started going. Costco, you know, lines got crazy. Toilet paper started going missing. Like, it was really, it, you know, that's when the stuff hit the fan. And everybody in the world has been impacted by this. And the scary part about it is we don't know what our next week is going to be like. So many people have lost jobs. There's been so much instability. Just we have to stay home. The way that people work, live, spend time with family, see each other has totally been interrupted. And everything has been shifted. And it's so much uncertainty that nobody knows what's going on. And here you are with your car packed from your mom's house about to drive to Connecticut, right? To Connecticut. Yeah. You were on your way to New Haven, like literally getting ready to go. You call your real estate agent in New Haven. And what does she say?
So before I called the real estate agent, I had messaged another student at Yale because I had my job interview was supposed to be there. This was on a Monday. My job interview was that Friday. And I'm like, is Yale even open right now? And she's like, no, do not come here. It is not open. You're closed. So I emailed the people I was supposed to have my interview with. And I'm like, hey, is my job interview still this week? And they're like, no, we're rescheduling all job interviews online. So, you know, I texted her probably around midnight because I was supposed to get on the road earlier that day and I put it off. But I'm supposed to be on the road. I was supposed to be on the road. I took a nap. It's about midnight. My plan is to get on the road in like 3-4 hours, like as soon as possible, because I'm supposed to meet my realtor that Thursday. And once it kind of hit me, like, Ashley, like, it is not responsible to go. I kind of put it off and I avoided my realtor for maybe like 6 hours because I had like 3 houses that I was supposed to see. And I wrote him back and I was like, I'm sorry, dude, I have to bail. Like, the day that I was supposed to leave was the day that we were, you know, people were like, it's irresponsible not to shelter in place and we need to start hunkering down. So I'm still in Florida. Here I am. But I'm going to leave probably next week. Now that I got the job and they deemed it essential, I'm going to leave next week and I start on the 4th of May.
So we're recording this on April 20th. Happy 420 for you guys who partake. I don't know how much you're going to be doing that right now, but hey, to each his own. So you're leaving now to go to New Haven to start your new life. But this is still amid pretty questionable times and a lot of uncertainty because we've all seen in the news that multiple schools have decided not to reopen in the fall. And so you're starting in the fall. Not only that, you're under contract on a house there. You're starting this job there. And so you are ready to shift your life to be a nursing student at Yale. But you don't necessarily know what that's gonna look like, if it's even a possibility. So, like, what feelings does that bring up for you right now?
I don't even know how to feel. I'm not even gonna lie to you. What I try to do, so there's like, there's two parts of me, right? Like, part of me is trying to keep it in perspective. Like, you are a nurse. Like, your life is on the line, right? I am still sitting in a very fortunate position. It is a privilege that I'm focused on when I'm going to start school and not, am I going to give this, you know, virus to my loved ones? Am I going to catch the virus myself? Like, am I going to be COVID's next victim? So I'm still grateful. I still need to put gratitude at the forefront because this is still a very good position to be in. You know, I am safe. My family's safe. Everyone's safe. But at the same time, like, I would be lying if I said there isn't a sense of frustration just with the situation at large. You know, coming from a military family, coming from the military myself, I should be alongside you guys right now. I should be, you know, part of the fight. That it is very weird to sit here and watch people die and not be able to do anything to help that. So I would be lying if I said it wasn't frustrating to contribute to some way, shape, or form, because I would already be in nursing school right now. So that's where we're at. Yale hasn't released an official statement yet. We kind of, you know, I had already had a big sister assigned to me because I was supposed to start last year. We were talking and she was like, look, don't plan on them to start on time because it's a hazard to the faculty. The faculty's over 65, so they're a high-risk population. So she was like, you know, make plans to start online. I don't know how you do your nursing school online. Like, how do you do clinicals? I don't know. So
there are no clinicals, by the way. No hospitals open to clinicals. There's no students in the hospitals at all. It's only essential personnel, right? And then who knows when that's going to be lifted. So even the structure of how most nursing programs are set up and have been set up for forever has totally been interrupted. It's totally different. So yeah, it's just so much like change for everybody.
And then to like add, you know, another factor to the mix, a lot of the midwives who teach at Yale are still practicing. A lot of them went to New York, you know, to go help with the midwifery shortage that they're experiencing over there. So there's, you know, part of it is like, they don't even have time to think about the upcoming year because they're still working. Like they also are part of the team that's fighting COVID. Everybody's lives have been upended. And, you know, again, like I'm in a fortunate position because, you know, there are certainly worse places to be, but I have no idea what's going to happen at all. I have no idea what's going to happen in August, and I don't know what's going to happen in December. I may be living in this, I plan a house hack, you know, I may be living in this 4-bedroom house by myself. I don't know, which, you know, I try to keep the gratitude at the focus, like worst places to be. Thank God for financial independence because, you know, it's not a financial concern. I'm okay financially, and that's a blessing. That is a great reason to consider financial independence. But yeah, the uncertainty, it's rough. You know, no one likes not feeling like they have control over their own life, especially me. I hate that.
Yeah, the personality type of somebody who typically is on this journey of being financially independent is one of control, because a lot of it, obviously the independence part, the freedom aspect, the control to do what you want on your terms is particularly exactly. And it's just like, it's part of like who we are. It's ingrained in like our personality types. And so being in control and kind of knowing what your next moves are and anticipating those next moves, planning for the unexpected, but, you know, anticipating in advance and having things planned out is kind of how we operate, and not having any kind of locus of control, like at all, you have no control, is devastating. I mean, like, not saying that it's different for anyone else, but I'm just saying, like, with our personality types, it's like you just want to go out there and fight. You want to do something. You have to be moving. You have to be doing something. Even when you're in nursing school, you're like, I'm in this because I know what my impact is going to be, and I'm going to work. I'm going to do this. I'm going to come out. I'm going to be the best midwife, and I'm going to address the, you know, Black mortality and morbidity, and we're going to fight this together. And you have like all this gusto behind you, you're just stuck.
Helpless. That's just not a word, you know. That is like major malfunction, like shut it down. That's not how we operate. Helpless is not a field that I operate well in. But that's where, honestly, everyone in the country is right now. In some way, shape, or form, every single person is helpless, you know. All medical staff can do is just treat patients and pray to God that it ends. You know, all I can do is, you know, get to Connecticut, start my little job and do what I can, you know, and wait, shelter in place, go to work and wait. That's all any of us can do. And it's horrible. I think it's an American thing to just, you know, try to push your way through it. Like, we're all taught that, like, if you work hard at it, there's a way to get through anything. And this time, there's just not. There's nothing we can do. Bruh, it hurts. It sucks.
It sucks. Like, it's horrible. But the one thing that you have been doing is sharing your story of how you traveled the world on a shoestring budget and how you were able to, just as a naive 24-year-old, build a little real estate empire. And
anyway, my two houses, anyway.
Hey, but those houses got you to unlock a level of freedom that you wouldn't have known if you hadn't discovered it. And now you know real estate. Like, once you know it, you know it. That's something that you forget. Like, and so you use that to get your property in Connecticut. Now you know how to house hack, which you're going to be doing successfully. And even if you, like, even if it's just you in that house, it's still a house that you can afford. It's still a house that, you know, is going to allow you to unlock other levels of freedom in the future. But you are doing some amazing things, and you're still very much an inspiration for me and so many other people out there, because you have a phenomenal story. You have a phenomenal voice. You look at things the way other people can't. I know you look at things the way I can't even look at things. And you, just in being where you are super impactful. And I want you to remember that, because everything happens for a reason. We'll come back to that, like, you know, with your ship crashing and all that stuff. Everything happens for a reason. And I know that you have a phenomenal place in this world. And this is just giving you testimony to share with other people. So I know it's hard. I'm right there with you, girl. I feel like you're my sister and we're going through this together, because I know what it feels like to be in limbo. And I mean, just everybody is impacted, like I said, in some kind of way. It's just hard right now. It's hard in the hospitals. It's hard to be there. And yeah, I'm just a labor and delivery nurse, but I'm very essential. And
you are a phenomenal woman, a phenomenal being. Like, every time you post a picture or a video dancing, you know, you are such a light, and you really do just kind of shine. You just exude this brilliance everywhere you go. So there's no such thing as just an L&D nurse. Let me go ahead and nip that in the bud. You know, you, with everything going on in COVID and hospital policy changing, you know, you are literally all that people can have sometimes. And that is not to be diminutized. I don't know if that's a word, minimized.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And I always just say I'm just a nurse to be facetious, but well, thanks. I'm glad you feel that way, Ashley. But honestly, like, you are phenomenal. You give me hope for what the future of nursing is going to be. And I just wish you all the best in everything that you do, because I know that the world needs you. I need you. And, you know,
let's see what's going to make me cry.
Just keep up the faith, girl. It'll all work out the way it's supposed to be. If there's one thing that I've had to really learn in life, is that everything is, has been, and will always be okay. And just be able to sit in that. And like you said, as Americans, we're used to going and grinding. And sometimes we need to just sit and be still. And I think if anything, this crisis has allowed us the opportunity to do that. So I encourage other people to do that. And even though I know you're going stir crazy at your mama's house and you're ready to go, know that this is just a slight pause in your trajectory to extraordinary success. And I'm wishing you all the best. So, Ashley, on a lighter note, how can people get in contact with you if they want to reach out to you, learn more about your traveling, learn more about your real estate, or just want to check on you and see how you're doing and follow you through your nursing school journey? How can they get in contact with you?
So my most active page is my Facebook page, and it is Ashley Evans Real Estate Investing and Solo Traveling Consulting. We are still working on a name.
I'll put the link in the show notes because y'all ain't gonna remember that.
But so Facebook is definitely my most active page, or you can visit my website, and this is much simpler, at ashleyevans.com.
But it's not simple because your name is not just spelled like Ashley. You have to have that E-I in your name. So we will post all the links in the show notes, but make sure you guys reach out to Ashley.
Anyway, I've been trying to keep up with you guys. Let me just put that out there. Like, before, you know, you guys were the ones, you know, carrying the troop. As far as Black females and fire, you're one of the originals. You're like an OG of fire. So I'm just trying to keep up with you guys. I'm just trying to make it.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I appreciate you. I just love hearing you share your story, and I just know you're going to be doing great things. So thank you again.
Thank you, Nasima. The pleasure is seriously all mine. It's my honor, seriously.
Again, sending so much love to all you future nurses out there. There have been no updates as of yet as to Yale's program changes for Ashley, but we will keep you updated in the Nurses on Fire podcast Facebook group. So Fire prepares you for the unexpected in a way that the average person wouldn't be prepared for. So had it not been for the Fire movement, Ashley's year would have been utterly catastrophic. Ashley's life could have really gone in a totally different direction. So thank God for the Fire movement.
Lesson number one.
Once you get started on the path of financial independence, it doesn't take long to reach your goals. It's just about taking that first step.
August of 2018, I'm about $30,000 in debt. I have two houses that I have like no emergency fund for. I'm like, I need to pay all this stuff off. So I get a roommate, sell my car. I'm like bumming off of people's cars. And it took me about 6 months before I paid off all $30,000 in debt. And then while I was in Wisconsin getting the ship, that's how I saved the $15,000 because I had no debt.
Lesson number two.
Financial independence is not just about accumulating massive savings and then not working. It's about the levels of freedom that you unlock along the way and doing the things that you get to do and not what you have to do.
Ashley, this will be the first and the last job that you work for money. The next time you work a job, it's going to be because you want to be there, not because you are paying someone back or because you need the money. Like, that's dead.
Lesson number three.
Having a community surrounding you and on the same path as you is priceless. Have you found your tribe?
I went to my first Camp Fi, and they looked at my finances. They were a mess. And that's kind of when I, you know, realized that I could retire early and I could, you know, there were people who could help me through this. And that's when I became a part of the community because it's a dope community.
You've been listening to Nurses on Fire. If you want to learn more about me or my guests, check out our show notes page. If you found value, please support our show by supporting our sponsors and affiliates also listed in the show notes. If you like what you're hearing, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, or whatever podcast app you're using to stream this show. You guys, tell all the nurses in your life to subscribe. And if you know a nurse with a compelling money story and would like me to feature them, shoot me an email at nasima@financiallyintentional.com. All right, y'all. Much love and keep them fires blazing.
Thank you for listening to my mommy's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. Bye-bye.